Welcome to the Authentic Conversations Podcast with Give Impact. Here are your hosts, Liz Ward and Maya Bullock.
Welcome back, listeners. It is episode 6 of Authentic Conversations with your local Charlotte Give Impact team. And we are really excited to be back in the recording studio after a one-month break. We took May off because our Maya got married. So Yay. Exciting. Congratulations.
Thank you. It was magical.
It was magical. I had the honor of being there.
And you officiated us.
I did.
Yes.
So that was a privilege of a lifetime.
So special.
So we got to celebrate her and Mark in Cancun. And then I had a huge milestone birthday, the big 4-0. I'm going to release my age out into the public. And so got a chance to go on a family trip, take some relaxation. We went overseas, and it was lovely. And so anyways, now we're back and in the swing of summer, and it's perfect that we're starting off with our friends from Hope Vibes. I was looking back at my notes to try and remember when we first met, because it feels like forever, but it was April 2021.
Wow.
That we met you guys, and Latoya Faustin from She Built the City, the executive director over there, introduced us. And since then, lots of it has unfolded, but we are here with Emmanuel and Adrian Threet, and they are a husband-wife combo extraordinaire. And if anybody has been around Charlotte and heard of the Hope Tank, it is a mobile laundry and shower facility serving our homeless community. And it is really incredible. It is not just any facility. You walk in and you feel like you're in a slice of paradise. And so it's just a moment for folks to recharge and be poured into. Mm-hmm. And Maya and I have been fascinated with it since the very beginning. And so I remember we watched the video on their website. We're like, we've got to meet these people. Mm-hmm. We were so excited to be introduced to them. And then we met you guys and realized we loved you more than we loved the Hope Tank, which I didn't even know that was possible. But you quickly became two of our favorite humans.
Easy. And I'm so kicking myself because we haven't seen the Hope Tank in person. We've literally only seen it online. Like, we volunteered with y'all.
For real?
Yes. I need to see it this year.
I know. Yeah, because we haven't been able to come out the days when y'all have your serve days.
Wow.
So, yes, we need to put that on our...
We're just going to roll it up to Camp North End.
Yeah, yes. Bring it.
Yeah, just roll it up there.
Please.
It's interesting because there's a one of the videos that the tank is there. I think it was before you guys were
really
there.
Yeah. And y'all...
We took pictures there.
I don't want to jump to that. I haven't... Do y'all still collaborate with the bulb?
Not like directly, but there's still connections there.
Okay. Yeah.
So, I'm hoping we'll touch on lots of this difference. You know, we'll touch on what Hope Vibes is, what the Hope Tank is, how all that got started. But both of you have really interesting backgrounds. And I just, every time I spend time with you guys, I learn something new about you. Both of them are incredible at, audio, visual, graphic design. You may not say that, but y'all are incredible.
You are.
And so before we even meet them, if you guys are on Instagram, follow them at Hope Vibes CLT, right?
Yes.
And so without further ado, I think the last thing I want to do before we jump in, since it's been a couple weeks or a little over a month since we last did our podcast, I want to refresh everybody on what our framework rules are for this podcast. Mm-hmm. And so we created this space because we wanted to have just real conversations with the people we meet on our journey to create new pathways for upward mobility in Charlotte. Mm-hmm. So we're meeting people all over the sphere, and we wanted to create a safe space to have real conversations. And so the framework that we have put together is we're going to speak from our own perspective, try to avoid generalizations when we're talking about things. This is a judgment-free zone. We will always respect one another. And number four is the belief that people are not defined by their actions. So we can talk about hard things and choices and actions that people have made or that we have made, but we believe that people are not defined by those. And so we'll be intentional with our wording and our framing, especially when we're talking about difficult topics or experiences. And then five is we desire to live in a place of truth, even when it's difficult, and we will make mistakes. And so we ascribe to that. We are far from perfect. We know that. That was one of the things we had to embrace when we started this podcast. We knew, like, even though we're, I call perpetually recovering perfectionists. And sometimes that stops us from doing things.
Yes.
Or having conversations or meeting with people because we're afraid we're not going to be able to achieve that perfection or we're going to do it wrong. We realized we just have to do this. We have to record these, get in the room.
I live over one of those.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It's really hard.
Y'all, and in, like, even my six-year-old daughter, I realize she's starting to have tendencies. And I'm like, I've tried really hard to not do that in front of her. I'm like, is it just in us? Like, sometimes I think maybe it can be. Mm-hmm. So I'm having to work really hard with her to let her know there is no perfection. And, like, you just have to try.
Yeah.
She said that to me the other day. She learned it at school. She was like, Mommy, like, I just have to try.
Wow.
And I was like, yes, like, write that down, put it on a bookmark. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the things we wanted to ascribe to. We will make mistakes. We will not record this perfectly. We will not make, we will not achieve perfection in real life. And so we can talk about those things. And six, each of us are committed to and will strive to show up authentically. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think part of that is choosing authenticity comes from within. Mm-hmm. It's a personal choice to be willing to be vulnerable and to show up as ourselves and to embrace that. But we've also talked about that this also does not mean we have to lay everything out.
Yeah.
We choose what we feel comfortable and what we feel called to share in any given moment. And so for all of our listeners, it's been since our first episode, I think, that we've recapped all of those. But those are that's the framework that we endeavored to create for this space while also giving a chance to meet people behind the scenes that are doing really incredible work in our city. So with that, I'll pass it over to Maya. Oh,
I was going to pass it to our guests for you to introduce yourselves and just to tell us where you're originally from, and how long you've been in the Charlotte community.
My name is Adrienne Threet, and I was originally born in Fayetteville, North Carolina, which is about 2.5-3 hours from here. But I've been in Charlotte since 2001. So I kind of consider Charlotte my home, even though I'm not native. And I love it here. I moved here to go to college at UNC Charlotte.
Woo-woo. Go Niners.
And I never left.
That's awesome. What did you study at Charlotte?
English and secondary education.
Okay.
Yeah. Went to school to be a teacher. I taught for 3 years and hated it. And decided to walk away from it midway in the year after some very turbulent experiences.
Yeah. And so, realized that wasn't for you.
Yes. Yes. And so I think I probably should have went a different path. Like, I think I wanted to do guidance counseling, and I let other people tell me, oh, you should be a teacher instead.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe if that doesn't work out, try counseling afterward. But by the time I had had the experiences I had, I was like, get me as far away from schools as possible. So
sorry.
That's a good lesson.
Yeah.
To, you know, listen to your gut from the beginning and try not to let
yes.
people push you
yes.
Into a direction. It's hard when you're young,
mm-hmm.
especially you haven't yet found yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do spend a lot of time listening to others, and yeah, that's a good lesson.
Absolutely. So, but I learned from it. I learned a lot in that experience that helped shape who I am today.
Mm-hmm.
And I think education is still an intricate part of who I am. It just shows up in different ways.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep.
What about you?
My name is Emmanuel Threet, and I was born in Jacksonville, North Carolina, Camp Lejeune. My dad was in the military, in the Marines. And we moved here when I was 5. So Charlotte's my home. I have no memory of Jacksonville, North Carolina. And so I was a little toddler kid. And so I consider myself a native because, yeah.
Yeah, so your grandfather did.
Yes. Yeah. So if anybody has an issue with that, go talk to your mom about that.
Listeners are going to be like, you are not a native.
And I'm like, I don't care what you say.
I identify as a native.
I identify as a Charlotte native, so that's what I am.
So now that we know that she started out as a teaching,
yes.
Where did you start?
I started as a shark. I'm serious. So,
wait, do tell.
So this is one of the handful of things in my journey of being an adult. So I didn't like finish college. And so I have some degree, some credits there, but I didn't finish it, right? And so I decided to just jump out into the career world. One of those things was I was going to be a car salesman. And at the time, this was before we got married. And so at the time, there was a Kia dealership on the way down 74 toward Monroe. And I was like, yo, this is what I'm going to do. They seem like they make some money, and so I'm going to do it. And so I go do all the things. I get trained to do it. And this particular dealership, for whatever reason, they like to do, like, commercials. Like not just regular commercials, but like these detailed, elaborate situations, and every day though, it's like something every day. And so this particular day, they had all the staff dress up as different things, pull up on camera in one of the cars.
I think I know where this is going.
Yes, pull up in one of the cars, and that day, I had been there like a month and a half, and I'm like, I hadn't barely made no money. I was just like, this is, okay, I'm eventually going to do something, right? But I had to pull up in a shark outfit. My head is in the shark's mouth, and my body is the shark, and I pull up, and I'm on camera. And I'm like, and I come out, and I'm like thinking to myself as this is going on, like, this is not pleasing. This is not fun at all. This is actually extremely embarrassing. Like, and it's videotaped, and I try to find it.
I actually saw it too.
It would come on every single.
I saw it on TV. Yes. I was in my apartment, and I was like, oh, "This was before like there was like camera phones." Now that sounds crazy.
I'm not going to even say what I'm going to say. I was thinking.
Sounds crazy. There were not camera phones.
Not like yeah. Yes.
What in the world?
Okay, continue.
I saw it on TV, cable TV.
Were y'all together at this time when you saw it?
Mm-mm. No.
Wow.
We've been married. Friends. Yeah. Okay. We've been married 18 years, but this is before then. So we're talking.
Maybe like 2 years before then.
Oh, 20 years ago? God, what the world?
Yeah, 2005. I saw it on TV. First iPhone came out in 2007. So yeah, before.
So I had no way to capture that moment, but I saw it. And I've looked for it since, and
yes.
There's no
listeners.
Luckily for him,
there's
no
any
evidence.
Listeners out there.
Yes, there's no evidence.
If
and
you
the
worked
dealership
for Kia at that time,
and can and find a shark
footage.
Video from 2005.
Mr. Volume was the name of like the dealership, so it was like Mr. Volume Kia. No, was it Kia Hyundai? It was Hyundai. Mr. Volume Hyundai. Sorry for the Kias.
No, well, they have a lot of combo dealerships,
yeah.
So I can see that.
This is like before like Hyundai got cool. Hyundai was like really like struggling as a company, and it was like
clearly they got people in shark suits.
So you drive up in a shark suit,
yes.
And you're like this is not.
This is not it.
This is not it.
This is I'm not going to do this. So from that led me into what did I do after that?
Teaching.
I did do teaching. So after that, I taught at a as a teacher assistant at a school, at a private Christian school called Gar Academy. And I worked with kids like toddler little kids that had autism. And so I did that for a few years and loved that, enjoyed that. And but then we got married and I was like, I got to make some more money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that led me into law enforcement. And so from there, I spent 7 years in law enforcement in Charlotte. Police officer, detective work.
Yep. Which of the three roles did you enjoy the most?
Obviously a shark. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I was a shark. You know how much fun sharks have?
That's hilarious.
I think out of all of them, I mean, they have their different things. I mean, the shark thing was actually extra embarrassing, but it taught me an important lesson that not just take any opportunity that's presented, like actually think about it and like gauge it. Because I jumped into that, like, I need to make some money, I need to do something, not really fully thinking like what all that entails.
Yeah.
I'm not a good salesman anyway. Like, I don't like selling anything unless it's like something that's really like me and yeah. I value it. And so it wasn't a good fit anyway.
So I'm curious, was there a connection between your time in law enforcement and the origination of Hope Vibes?
No, nope, nope. So after I left law enforcement, we're talking 2016, mm-hmm. So my father is a pastor in the city, and that's how I was raised. And so we had a church off of Harris, East Harris, and Ottawa Road, mm-hmm. at the corner, and we were been there for a long time. And so my time at CMPD ended abruptly, not planned at all. Didn't like how it ended. That's a whole nother story that we can talk about if you want to. But it's a story that is, I didn't fully realize how much that like shaped me future wise. Like, it just was like how it ended messed me up for real. But anyway, so that's where that, my dad had a church. He ran for Congress. I left CMPD. We took over, we kept the church going while he was running for Congress. And during that time, that's when Hope Vibes was born.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it so much. And I want to get to that part. But first, I want each of you to tell us one authentic thing about yourselves.
I think that one authentic thing about me is I make it a practice to embrace pain and purpose simultaneously.
Expand on that. That's good.
Like, I mean, we all go through very difficult things in life. I think a lot of people oftentimes may like live in those painful spaces in hiding for whatever reason. Maybe they're ashamed for whatever reason, or afraid, or whatever the reason is. And it often leads to like bearing that burden alone. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I, for whatever reason, just seem to always embrace, like, I mean, I don't air out all the details, but I've embraced, like, in difficult seasons and spaces, being willing to be vulnerable for my own well-being, but also, and probably more primarily, because I just feel like if I can make my pain purposeful, it doesn't hurt as bad. Like, if I can help someone else from what I'm going through, then it has a greater sense of purpose to me.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I think one thing that I've noticed as we've been on this journey of talking with more and more people in vulnerable spaces, that there's also an element of realizing you're not alone. And so when people are willing, mm-hmm. to get into that vulnerable space and share what they're going through, both you and other people can see, wait a minute, I'm not the only one going, mm-hmm. through this. And there, that's maybe that's part of an essential part of community building, mm-hmm. is realizing you're not alone. Because sometimes that is that shame comes from feeling like you're the only one mm-hmm. going through something.
Yeah. Every time I would share about like the miscarriages that we went through, I would get like so many inboxes of like people who had been silently dealing with that. And they were, for whatever reason, embarrassed or ashamed, like it was something that they had done, mm-hmm. And something that had to be hidden. And for someone to give voice to things that they were silently experiencing, helped them navigate a little bit better, and kind of lift some of the weight of it. And so it was just like, you know, it sucks that, can I say it sucks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It sucks that I had to like go through this, but like, my perspective was just always like, okay, I'm going to turn something that has been really horrible into something that's going to help someone else in their journey.
It's really courageous.
You really are, Adrian. I watch your videos when you post them on LinkedIn and on social media.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So inspiring. Emmanuel?
Yes.
Oh. You want to share one authentic thing about yourself?
Not really. I mean, I think...
That probably was authentic, though.
I think for me, something that is authentic to myself is I like to, like, learn just things, random things. It could have no bearing on anything. It's just random information about whatever. And so recently I've been on my coffee journey, and about 4 years ago I hated coffee. I thought coffee was just gross and disgusting. And now I am, some would say, a coffee snob.
Some would say
very much so.
I'm there. I drink black coffee now with no sugar.
That's
the biggest transition. Like, it goes from hating coffee to, I like the notes. I like the aromatic single origins.
Are you
and all that stuff.
Light, medium, or dark?
Light.
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 You know that has more caffeine.
I do.
God,
I have
this
triplets.
This is where I wish we were filming. And
I have
you
triplets.
See.
And so the more caffeine is a needed thing.
Oh, yeah. Guys, we'll get into that. they have triplets. So now we've got to take this opportunity for you to tell us what your favorite recent coffees are. What are you enjoying right now?
Can
you think of any?
Of course he can.
Well, not anything specific, like not names, like. But I will say the Night Swim coffee. It's they do a really good job with some really good stuff. And shout out to Enderly Coffee and Tony. Mm-hmm. They have some really good coffees as well. So yes, I have a whole bunch. But those are the two, like, right now that are, like, I can drink straight black coffee.
Awesome.
Those are some of his favorite brands of coffee.
Brands of coffee. Now.
Like coffee shops.
Yes. So that's a whole different thing. We're talking, I'm in the world.
No, so we love supporting small businesses.
Yes.
And so I would love the opportunity to highlight some of your favorite
coffee
shops.
Say less. Say less.
Give, like, your top three or four that aren't as well known.
Yes. So one of my top ones is Indigo Coffee. So Indigo Coffee is by this amazing woman. Her name is Reba. She makes all the syrups and creations, lattes. She has, I would say, probably the most creative lattes in the city.
Mm.
She's making all kinds of stuff. And this is coming up from her mind. I'm like, how do you do this? Clearly you're tapped into some kingdom, heavenly, divine coffee part, bar of heaven, getting these creations.
<That's> crazy.
Because, like, I'm like, how are you thinking of this? She's like, I just think about it. It's just, I'm like, wow, yes. And so she's amazing. Indigo Coffee is amazing. It's like, it's uptown off of Mint Street. Yeah, close to Mint Street. And so that's one. Lottie's is another one that we went to yesterday, but we've been there before. They have the Biscoff latte, iced or cold, crazy.
It's called the airplane latte.
Yeah, Oh, yeah. It's called the airplane. It has Biscoff in it. Oh, my gosh, it's so good.
Oh, like the cookies?
Yes. Mm. When I tell you, this is something that everybody needs to try.
He licked the cup.
I did lick the cup.
I have proof.
Yes.
This is awesome.
Yes. Percantile is another one that is one of our just kind of our local coffee shops that we go to. They're up in Concord, and they have a couple different locations. And then Sean, he's really cool.
Percantile, that's a great name.
Yep. And then lastly, I have to give a shout out to one of my friends. Him and his wife opened up started off with a coffee cart that they go to the farmers markets with.
Cool.
Got a trailer, and now they're in a church that let them use the space, and it's called Finca Coffee. Mauricio and Brenda, they do amazing things.
Finca Coffee.
They're from El Salvador, and so their coffee tastes like pretty much what you would get there. They use cinnamon in their coffee.
Mm.
It's really good. Really, really different, but it's really good.
Do you know if they're on social media?
They are, yep.
How do you spell Finca?
F-I-N-C-A.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
We'll be able to tag them.
Yes. Yes.
In the notes.
Oh, so. I'd love to know that.
Yes.
This is a great authentic information
it really is.
Tidbit.
It really is. And I forgot our cards today, but I think Adrienne is going to share a quote that her and Manny both live by.
It was his idea.
Either one of you can share it.
Either one of you.
I'll share it. My goodness. It is. So it's a quote that I don't know when it came up, but it's definitely something that I feel like guides a lot of my thought process. But it's do what you can with what you have until you can do more. And it lends itself to that idea that it doesn't have to be perfect. You just have to do. You just have to start. You have to just make those forward steps, momentums, and in doing that, there is impact that's happening, there's growth that's happening, and it might not be the future big idea that you have, but it's something that is going to get you there.
Mm-hmm. And that makes me think, I don't know if we've talked about it on this podcast, but we've talked about it before, that there's another quote out there that's momentum begets momentum.
Mm-hmm.
Liz Clayson Kelly told me about that once, mm-hmm. and it has always stuck with me. And I feel like it's the same,
mm-hmm.
that, like, just take a step,
mm-hmm.
just one.
Yep.
You don't have to do it all at one time, just one step and then another and then another. And that it builds that momentum so that you can be moving. You're in the right direction. And we talk about that in our mission statement of just taking action every day to create new paths for upward mobility. And that's centered around just not just talking about ideas, mm-hmm. not just brainstorming or writing a strategy. It's all geared towards we have to take action.
Right.
We talk with so many people who just get stuck.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy, though. It's easy to get stuck, especially if you're one that's like a visionary or a dreamer. It's like, you have an idea of what it's supposed to look like, and you're like, okay, this is what it is. This is what it's supposed to look like, how it's supposed to shape, how it's all those things. And it's when it's not like that, it's like, well, then it's not complete. It's not ready. And it's like, well, like there is a level of that that has to be there. But if you don't even start putting the ingredients in the bowl, then it's never going to be there. Mm-hmm. It's never going to be that fully developed cake. It might not be the full version of that cake, but it might just be, you might make a little cupcake, a little mini muffin.
And I mean, cake batter tastes good personally, so there's that.
That's
gross. Sugar tastes good.
Right.
Right? Exactly, exactly.
It's just like once you add all the little ingredients, let them go through their stage, and then all of a sudden something that you didn't ever really even think that it would become.
Yep.
So how did you take the sugar and the spice and everything nice and create Hope Vibes? When and how did it originate?
So Hope Vibes started during the time we were pastoring. I came across a video where it was sharing, a few women were sharing about their experience with being homeless or experiencing homelessness while also dealing with their menstrual cycles. And looking at how they had to navigate that space was something that I just had never considered when thinking about homelessness. And so they were doing things like making their own pads and tampons out of unconventional items like toilet paper, socks. One lady said banana peels.
Wow.
Because of the limited resources that they had during that time of the month, it was like, okay, do I use my money to buy food or buy hygiene products? And so it was like, all right, well, I'm gonna buy the food and I'm gonna get innovative for this other need. And just seeing that, like, really struck a chord with me. And I ended up having a little rant on Facebook, and that was supposed to be it. Like, I just wanted to make people aware that this was a thing, mm-hmm. not in, like, some third world country, but right here where we live. And I felt like that shouldn't be that way. I wasn't saying that I should do something about it. I just wanted to communicate, like, this is a thing. And when people realized that it was a thing, they wanted to be a part of creating a solution for that. And we got voluntold to spearhead that. And so what we thought was just going to be a one-time thing, like, we thought, okay, we're going to collect items this one time, and a group of people will come with us, and we'll go, we'll have a specific date and we'll go at the end. It just didn't turn out that way. Like, we got out there and there were men and children that were like, oh, do you have any deodorant? Do you have any toothpaste? Do you have toothbrushes? And we're like, no, we don't. We bought pads and tampons.
Yeah.
Didn't realize that that was a need. And so we were like, you know, no worries. We'll come back. We'll come back and we'll bring other hygiene products. And so we went back to our online community that organically had formed around this issue and said, all right, people said that they need these things. And so we started collecting those things again, thinking it was going to be a one-time thing. And it just, by the third month, it was like people were showing up at our church, dropping off hygiene supplies by the truckload. And then people started wanting to give us money. And then at that point, we were like, okay, hold on, like, not trying to go to jail. So we made it, like,
official.
Yeah. And so that's how we got started. It was literally, the plan was to be a one and done type situation.
Yeah.
And it snowballed.
So what year did Hope Vibes?
2017.
Yeah.
So how did that progress to the tank?
Mm-hmm. So I think it was a combination of we being out there consistently talking to people. And then 2018, I had a dream about a truck with laundry and showers in it. And 3 o'clock in the morning, I roll over and tell her, hey, I got this idea. And in my mind, I'm like, I'm pretty sure this is something somewhere out there. And I didn't see anything like that. What I saw, the closest was this, some transit vans in Australia with the organization called Orange Sky. They had like a transit van and a set of laundry in the back and shower. And then, I just kind of wrote my ideas down, and from there kept on researching, found out about an organization in California called Lava May. And they're not even around anymore, like how they were. But, I mean, we literally just started writing down the vision of it, sketched things out, and said, hey, these are the things, had hard conversations about, are we going to have toilets in here? How do we do this? I had no idea or context or anything. I don't have any background in building, like, structures or anything like that. And so we just literally just was like, let's research and learn how we do this. And that's what we did. Put the vision out there, started sharing it with people who volunteered with us on social media. And, you know, because I do have some graphic design backgrounds, I was able to put together the visuals of it kind of in a creative way. And that's where we started.
Kind of in a creative way. Talk about modesty.
Right.
Oh, you're my God. So okay. Humble. So again, cool. Listeners, these are some of our favorite humans. They are so down to earth. Look at their website.
Please.
Look at their social media and you'll be like,
it's
all them. And so the creativity is off the charts. You guys are really talented.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Literally.
And
talented.
Okay, so you dream up
mm-hmm.
Hope Tank.
Mm-hmm.
You do some sketches. You do some really cool visuals of what it could look like.
Mm-hmm.
Was it just individual funders that came together, or was there like a big funder who helped kind of catalyze things?
Yeah, so it was a combination of all of that. So initially, was this before C20 with the African American community?
Mm-hmm. They were our first one.
Yeah, so African American Community Foundation, which is another name now, they gave us our first grant for the Hope Tank. And we took that and bought a used car recycling box truck off of Facebook Marketplace for $8,500. It needed a lot of help and a lot of work, and I mean we did. So that turned into just once we had that, we had a tangible thing that people can like we're not playing. Look, we can like we're gonna build this, and so that helped the fuel the vision. And we did C20. C20 again helped communicate the vision of the Hope Tank.
What is C20?
We didn't win C20. So C20 is like
seed.
C20, yeah.
Seed 20. Yeah.
The pitch competition with SVP, Social Venture Partners. And so we didn't win that C20, but it helped a lot.
Is that still done in Is that an annual thing, or for other?
I believe it is. They still do that,
folks.
We didn't win it. The prize was like I think $20,000. We didn't win it. We didn't win anything that night. But it opened doors. People were like, "Man, that your pitch was amazing! Gosh, it was great!" And that opened doors for other funding to come in outside of that. And so, I mean, that really helped kind of jumpstart that. And so. From that, individual donors to, there was a time period where we had to stop building it because we ran out of funding. And this is like, for us, so 2019, mm-hmm. we were building it, had to stop, but then the pandemic happened. And so we were able to get some funding, some grants funding for the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up finished building October 2020. In the height of pandemic stuff, where a lot of people were still inside and sheltered, we were out in the world at Tent City with the Hope Tank.
So can you talk us through what it's like to experience the Hope Tank? If you're mm-hmm. someone in the community and you drive up,
mm-hmm.
what is that like? And like how often, like what, especially at that time,
yeah.
you know, what did it look like?
So if you were... Say you are living in your vehicle and you're going to pull up and you need to take a shower. So we're in a parking lot somewhere in the city, and you would see a bright, colorful box truck on the side. It says, clean clothes, clean bodies, fresh start. It says the quote, do what you can with what you have until you can do more. That's on the side. It says big Hope Tank sign. It's colorful. Might be some bubbles flying in the air, some music playing. You might not exactly know what you're pulling up to. In the back, you see where the roll-up doors are in the back of the truck, you'll see this wall of laundry machines. Again, you might not fully know what you're looking at. But as you get closer, volunteers are out there, you see a table full of hygiene supplies and other supplies, and then you walk up into, you'll walk up into the Hope Tank on the side, and on the left side and right side, there are bathrooms that mirror each other. Toilet, sink, shower, colorful artwork. We had art mural in the middle hallway area that's designed by Frankie Zombie, who's an artist that does a lot of graffiti art and just amazing colorful pieces. And so he did all the artwork that's inside the Hope Tank. And so there's quotes on the wall, there's the colorful art on the wall, and it's kind of reminds you of a modern farmhouse bathroom. Mm-hmm. It kind of gives that feel. And then you leave, you know, you do what you need to take a shower, get your clothes. We provide you with like the fresh white towels and washcloths, and all the soaps and shampoos and conditioners are in the shower. And you spend as much time as you need to take a shower. And once once you're done, you come out and you can wash your clothes. We'll wash your clothes for you, fold them up, put them in a nice laundry bag that's heavy duty, and send you on your way.
So, okay, I assume that Serve Day or like the Hope Tank days, there isn't a lot of time that y'all are out there. So you, and with it only being two showers, you don't limit the amount of time that someone spends in there. Yeah. Or you don't have a list of people, like if the lines are long, you still allow them just to have their space?
Yeah, so we haven't run into any major issues with, like, time. You would think that it would be, like, it's something that you need to worry about, but, like, every once in a while we'll have somebody that would spend, you know, a, like 30, 45 minutes in the bathroom area. They're not going to take a shower the whole time, but they just need that space. And so we allow people the opportunity to almost treat it like their home bathroom. Like, hey, this is, like, you know, though, there's people outside waiting, but, and typically people are respectable, you know, respect each other's time, and so they won't spend super long in there. They'll go in, do what they need to do, and be out. And so we wanted, that was one of the things that we talked about early, was, like, how do we want this process to go? And we feel like dignity is wrapped up into everything that we do, and giving people a cut off, like, we're going to turn the water off in 15 minutes, like, that's not dignified. Like, we're like, no, that's, I mean, if we got to stay an extra 30, 45 minutes or, you know, let people get that time, then fine. It doesn't really, in the long run, it doesn't hurt anything. It's just time. And so we wanted to give that space to people because dignity is a big thing for us.
I love that so much. And y'all have been boots on the ground for so many years now. How have you seen the state of homelessness change, and is it improving overall, or have you seen that communities have grown over the years, like homeless communities have grown versus improved and decreased?
It's definitely growing. I mean, there's been a article floating around online this week that really expresses that and how it's consistently increasing. Yeah. Like, it hasn't been, since we've started, it hasn't ever been a moment where it's like, oh, as a city or as a county, we're seeing that we're effectively making strides in decreasing homelessness.
Yeah.
Those, I mean, if you're going by the numbers that they are reporting. And so it's unfortunate. I think sometimes visually, it could appear that it's less, just because the pandemic was such a extreme visual. And so during the pandemic, you know, we had Tent City, and it, like, you couldn't not see it. Like, it was so in your face. And then when those areas were required to be, like, disbanded, it's easier to feel like, oh, it's not as visible anymore, so it must be getting better, when that's just not the case. I saw a picture last week. Someone had posted it looked like probably a preteen. He was sitting outside of a McDonald's here in Charlotte, sleep. He had a suitcase with him, and he's sitting outside sleep. And the person that had posted it was like, it was clear that he was unhoused. And she was just trying to find out, like, whose child is this? Like, is there someone that can pick him up, take him where he needs to go? And it's like, that's a picture of homelessness. Like, it's real. And it's something that often goes underlooked, because it's like, homelessness takes on variations that you might not acknowledge or recognize. Oh, this is actually homelessness at play. Like, there's kids that are house hopping from friend to friend because they don't have anywhere to stay. And so, yeah, I don't think it's getting better. I think that they're, ooh, let me be careful.
You can share. It's okay.
I think there's a lot of work to be done. Sometimes there's a lot of talking that happens and strategizing that happens. But implementation and execution and planning that really pushes the needle forward in a realistic way, I think it just it needs an overall. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's a nice way.
I mean, so, I mean, it goes back to the point of doing what you can with what you have. Like, I think currently there's been movement, and there's things and organizations and shelters that do good work. But it has to go a step deeper and bigger. And we know that the issue of homelessness is not something that is one size fits all. Everybody can't fit into a shelter. Mm-hmm. Everybody doesn't want to be in a shelter. People don't trust shelters.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody can't, you know, they have different dynamics to their family situation. Oh, I really love my dog. Well, hey, we got to listen. I'm not a
pet owner.
So mm-hmm. I don't fully understand the love of a, but that does that mean that this person shouldn't be able to bring their dog?
Right.
If the policies in that place says, well, okay, well, where can they go?
Mm-hmm.
There's no place. Okay, I'm a dad. I'm a single dad with kids. Where do I go? There's men's shelters. There's women's shelters. Is there a men's children's shelter? You know what I'm saying? Like, these are those conversations that we have to have, but connected with action. Because if not, then we're just going to be talking in circles all day and wondering why the issue's not getting any better. We need a variety of solutions for housing. We know housing is an issue. It's always been an issue. Okay, well then let's figure it out. Like, let's take some of those red tapes that are up, take some of those barriers that are there, and use them as stepping stones in order to build something that is actually causing solutions instead of hindrances.
Well, and what this makes me think of is how difficult it can be to navigate the resources mm-hmm. that are available.
It's insane.
There's so many organizations doing incredible work.
Of course, yes.
Offering great services. there's housing out there, albeit, normally it's full, but mm-hmm. there's some time that it mm-hmm. takes to get into it. But is how do you navigate that? We run into that conversation a lot. And I know there's organizations that offer housing navigators, like Crisis does mm-hmm. that, but I don't know, we haven't yet talked with them to learn one-on-one, mm-hmm. like, what does that look like? Who gets to sit down and have those conversations mm-hmm. and how does that work? But do you know about
I know that the process is stressful. I tried to do it myself one time I just wanted to see what it would be like. Like, you have to start off with calling 211 to get into the system. I was doing it to try to help someone else. That's what it was. They were too stressed to try to figure it out. And so I was like, well, let me see. What if I try to do it, like, get it jump started for them? I was on hold for an hour just waiting to talk to a human.
Wow.
And so, like, that was me in a clear thinking space without the pressure of life and the pressure of trying to figure out what my next step was.
Yeah.
I think about moments in my life in the past year where I was super stressed and, like, overwhelmed with life. I probably would have had a breakdown trying to navigate that system if I was in the moment of, okay, me and my kids are about to get put out. And to even be able to
mm-hmm.
get on a list to get housing
yep.
or even shelter, I got to navigate this system first. It becomes very, I never ended up talking to anyone because I just was
wow.
like, I've been waiting for an hour. I can't do this anymore.
And yeah. To your point, I couldn't imagine, like you said, being in survival mode and not in a clear head space and waiting on the phone for an hour and not feeling discouraged. Like, no one wants to help me. Like, I can imagine it can get discouraging just, like, going through that process because it's rigorous.
And, I mean, so I imagine that it's probably hard to refine a system that's been in place for so long mm-hmm. and, like, you know, it's like you – it's hard to be nimble
mm-hmm.
when you've grown to a certain, like, level of – maturation in your organization.
Mm-hmm.
That would be how Josh Jacobson explains it, nimble. It's easier for grassroots, smaller organizations to be nimble versus organizations that have been established for decades, centuries even. Like, this is how we do it, and this is how it's got to be, even though there are some clear, like, challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that that's where, like, grassroots organizations often try to come in and help people navigate maybe outside of those systems when possible. But the resources often right. are inside of those bigger, non-nimble systems. And so it just makes things really complicated. As we were sitting here talking, I was just thinking, like, okay, if I had a situation where we were going to be homeless. Say I didn't even have all of our kids, because we got four of them. we got the triplets, and then we have our 13-year-old. 13-year-old son, he is taller than me. Like, I literally...
I'm having a moment realizing, I'm like, oh my God, he's only 13?
Yes, he'll be 14 in August. Say it was just me and him, like, he wouldn't be able to go to the women's shelter with me.
Wow.
He would have to go to the men's shelter.
Like, by himself.
By himself.
Or, like, time out, or the relatives.
If they had a relative.
I mean, but it would be separate.
The point is, he couldn't come with me.
Yeah.
As a mom,
mm-hmm.
no, we going to have to figure it out. And if I got a car, we going to have to figure it out.
Yeah.
And so it's things like that that make, it's not as easy as, oh, yeah, we're just going to go to the shelter.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, it's just hard.
Yep. So this is making me think of a couple things that if any of our listeners are landlords or friends with other people who own apartments or real estate, some of the ways that you can help are by working with Charlotte Family Housing
mm-hmm.
to offer your units to their organization for placement of families and individuals. I think the city maybe has a list of landlords, or Housing Collaborative has a list of landlords.
The Lotus Campaign.
The Lotus Campaign has manages a list of landlords who are willing to accept tenants who are getting placed, who, you know, they're coming through a program.
Mm-hmm.
They're also receiving services. There's so many benefits to participating in those programs. So those are some really great avenues. But I'd love, I know we're at the end of our hour.
I wanted to end just by asking our friends to tell us about their impact and numbers so far on their journey and the goals that you have for the future.
So one of the ways that we just kind of loosely communicate, like, impact by numbers, is our serve days. So right now we have 3 serve days that we're doing a month, different parts of the city. So we have Uptown Charlotte, the east side of Charlotte, and we're in Albemarle, North Carolina. And so those are the 3 locations. And then within the next month and a half, we'll be adding another location off of Central Avenue. And so each one of those serve days, we serve anywhere from 25 to 100 people, whether that's hygiene supplies that we're doing, showers or laundry. And so that kind of gives a overall view, like, of our impact, how we're serving, who we're serving. And within those, hundreds of soaps and deodorants and hygiene supplies and different things like that that we're able to help. And so, you know, I think it's also interesting, something just to kind of bring up is, even though we're in the helping individuals who are unhoused, we know at the moment, like, we're not solving homelessness, right? We're not providing a person with a house.
Right.
Or ending their situation. But we know that we are stops on their journey that help them to be clearer as they're navigating through their homeless situation. And I think that's important to bring up, because sometimes we feel like we need to be the solution, fully the solution, but really you just might be an ingredient to the solution, right?
Ooh.
Like a piece of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important to know, because a lot of aspects of life, we are community and we are communal people. And knowing that it's okay not to have the full picture and the full solution and the, all the things, but knowing, hey, I know my lane. I know where I'm at, and I can do that really, really well. I can I can provide a really dope shower to somebody, and they can walk away from the shower like, man, have you seen a person go in into a shower and then leave out? Like, the world has just left them, like,
all the weight is off their shoulder.
Like, mm-hmm. That is an amazing view to see, and I'm honored to be able to still do it. And the reality is, it's only by God's grace that we're still here to be able to do that because of the past couple years has been just wild. It's been a crazy journey for us as a family. And so to still be in a space where we are able to help people through Hope Vibes, it's really, really amazing.
Because we can't gloss over the fact that part of that, I mean, y'all have heard us drop some nuggets, that they have triplets.
Yes.
And they are now
2.5.
2.5. And they are the cutest dang babies I've ever seen in my life.
You're just saying that. I mean,
No, I'm not. Really are.
Have you ever said that, man, that's an ugly baby? No.
I thought it. But no, those babies are so cute. And I remember they came to my birthday party, I guess it was last year. Mm-hmm. Last year or the year before. Maybe it was the year before. 2 years ago.
They
were in strollers.
And I was just getting me some baby love. Mm-hmm. But that's a lot. I mean, I'm a parent. Having one baby is a lot. Mm-hmm. Having two babies, I have family and friends that have had twins, and it's a lot. But three, mm-hmm. I mean,
it's insane.
It's still insane. We're 2.5 years in this, and we still are like, what is happening? What are we? This is for real? It is nuts.
We're old. Guys, we just realized that for almost the past year, we've been telling people we're the wrong age.
What?
Literally, yesterday at 3:49 in the morning, we realized that we've been telling people we're 42 years old, but we're not. I fat checked it with ChatGPT. I had it calculated for me. We're 41.
We're not 42. But we've literally, I thought I was 43. I'm like, I always ask her, like, how old are we?
And I'm usually the one that keeps track of how old we are, and I've had it wrong.
So, yeah, so that lets you know that where we've been, like, mentally, mm-hmm.
I can just tell you how grateful I am that y'all have been able, by the grace of God, to keep it alive. And I know that that's been a struggle, and it's been difficult because life has just given you so much to focus on, despite how cute those babies are. It's a lot, you know? And so I want to ask our listeners, and I want to ask you how we can support you, because Hope Vibes delivers an incredible ingredient to our community. And dignity and confidence is such an incredible and important step mm-hmm. to folks being able to feel empowered to take the next step, to do what they need to do to get back on their feet. Because reality is, if they landed in homelessness, some life event got them there.
Yep.
That either, and then they didn't have maybe a social circle or the mm-hmm. social capital or the family mm-hmm. to lean on because something happened to them. And so they need as much love and encouragement and support to be able to pick themselves back up and to keep going. And it's not that simple, but mm-hmm. believing in ourselves is so important, and seeing that someone else believes. And we talked about that with Ed, and he said that was a pivotal moment for him when he looked at Courtney, and Courtney told him, I believe in you. You can do this. Mm. Go back home and come back tomorrow when you're ready for this. And so you guys offering a shower to give people a chance to, like, feel like themselves mm-hmm. is pivotal. Mm-hmm. And then you do it in a beautiful, beautiful way. And so my hope and prayer is that all the love and support comes your way after we launch this podcast, that people just trust and know that if they give you resources, they're going to turn into something beautiful mm-hmm. And that you guys continue to get the support that you need to thrive as a family.
Yeah.
And because sometimes we have to put the mission on hold
mm-hmm.
and that's okay.
Yes.
Or let someone else take the mantle for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's hard. Life mm-hmm. comes at us, whether it's an aging parent or family or whatever it is.
Yeah.
life can life sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Yes. So tell us how people can best support you.
So the best way is our website, hovibes.org, and donate money, time, do volunteering, hygiene items. All of those things help keep the mission forward, keep it moving forward. Follow us on social media. Share content that you see, even if you can't do any of that. Those other things, sharing the things that you see on social media. We use social media all the time to keep the mission in front of people's eyes, letting them know what's going on. We have, like, still forward ideas and vision for future things. Like, we're in the process of building another Hope Tank for the Triad area. That's been a process that's taken a little bit over 2 years. One of the reasons is because of our beautiful chocolate babies. But it's one of those things that, I mean, we're not stopping momentum. Momentum had to slow a lot of it. But we're back up with momentum, and I can feel the pace moving a little bit faster. And so Triad area, Winston-Salem, Greensboro, High Point, there's a Hope Tank coming in that area.
Do you have a fundraising goal for that Hope Tank?
There is one. I think it's like 60,000, something like that. It's not super crazy amount, but it's, I'm praying by the end of the year we'll see it.
All right, y'all, $60,000.
So $60,000. I was going to say, don't listen to him.
Okay, don't listen. Listen, don't listen to me.
Double that.
More so, what we are really looking for is monthly partners.
There you go.
So that
we're a monthly partner.
Yes.
Thank you.
So that there is commitment and stability. Even after the Hope Tank, the second Hope Tank is on the road. It's not one of those things where it's got to sit because there's not funding there to keep it operational. There's so much that goes into having those vehicles out on serve days, from the water, the gas, the propane, the supplies, all these different things, the staffing. In fact, staffing is one of the reasons why it's not, the current one isn't out more, because right now he's a driver. And again, we've got 2.5-year-old triplets and a very athletically active 13-year-old son. And so whereas before the babies were here, we had between 10 to 15 serve days a month.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now we have 3.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So giving is so critical, because while it may not pull someone off the street yet, it enables us to, like, amplify our impact exponentially by increasing the number of serve days.
I'm just going to throw this out there because – y'all, we're a monthly giver, and I would love to set a challenge to get 100 new monthly givers.
Let's go.
Oh, we should start like a match. Who's going to match Give Impact?
Okay, so we need someone to match, and we need 100 new givers.
Listen.
Yes. But so just in case anybody's like, I don't even know how to do that. So just to let you know how we do it, we have a donor advised fund at CharityVest where we take a percentage of our net income at Give Impact, and we put it into CharityVest, which is a donor advised fund. There's no fees. I'm not being paid to advertise this. There's different platforms out there. This is just one that we've chosen that is easy to use. Mm-hmm. There's no fees. Money's there, and then we can go in and we can do either one-time grants, or we can schedule monthly giving, and it makes it super easy. Mm-hmm. I have had an incredible experience doing this, and so it's that easy. Like, you can put money there. It's tax deductible. And then you can start scheduling it. Like, and if you make, like a couple years ago, we made a 3-year commitment to Habitat.
Wow.
For their, one of their communities. And so I went ahead and scheduled it. We put the money in the account. And we scheduled it to happen over 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
We have used that to support the YWCA, Crisis Assistance, Freedom Fighting Missionaries. Mm-hmm. It's so easy, and we plan. So every quarter we look at this and we put money into the account, and then we know what we're working with to go and put money back into the community. And so anybody can do that. Mm-hmm. This doesn't have to be a company. It can be an individual.
Mm-hmm.
And like my husband and I have really enjoyed doing that over the years, like choosing together, like how do we support and make a difference in the community.
Mm-hmm.
and something that we can see and something we enjoy doing that mm-hmm. together. And we are not, I mean, this is, it doesn't take a lot of, like, there's no minimum.
Yeah.
Like, you can put $10 in here.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about gigantic sums of money. I'm just saying, yes, anybody can be a philanthropist.
Mm-hmm.
Skip the Starbucks one day a week or make a different choice and put money in there. And I have found it's addicting.
Mm-hmm.
It is so joy-filling.
Yeah.
To see that, like, okay, instead of buying X, Y, and Z, I've put money into this account, and then we can go and make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, really rewarding. So I would love for our listeners, we'll post this on social media,
mm-hmm.
see if we can gather information to try to get 100 people to sign up as monthly givers at any dollar amount for you guys.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yes.
We love you guys.
Yeah,
thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having
us. Glad to be here. It feels like we've just always known each other. Like, yeah, I can't
really
remember
does.
The first time we actually met with LaToya. It just seems like it's just always been here.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And I want to thank you guys because y'all have showed up for us on every stage of our journey. And we're planning our 5th anniversary breakfast. I think we're going to do a breakfast. We're still waiting. We're still deciding. If listeners are like, ooh, I'd like to attend and prefer a certain time of day, let us know. But We'll keep
midnight
you
party.
Midnight. Oh, yeah. Triplets are invited.
Give it Pat rave.
But, you know, and just to circle it back before we close out, I just want to continue to remind our listeners and each person in this room how important it is to remember that each of you are worthy. So share that with others around you. Share this podcast with others around you and see if we can get to the 100 listeners, or not listeners, well, that would be great, but 100 contributors to for monthly for you guys. And we hope you guys have a great week.